So I'm excited to guide us into Lectio Divina. So I'm going to give a brief introduction. Just hurry up so we can slow down, right? So I'll try to get through it quickly. But imagine that you show up to a first date with a clipboard. And you're like, all right, let me take notes here. What's this person like? All right, she chewed 7 to 8 times before swallowing. Okay, she ordered a Moscow mule. I wonder what mule means in Hebrew. And you're flipping through old papers. You're comparing notes. What's the name of your first pet? I might need that later on. Collecting various data isn't really the best way to get to know someone, right? But Christina passed. Yeah. We went to Texas Roadhouse. I think that was okay, right? I mean, the first date, it was pretty good. So, taking a clipboard to get to know someone isn't really the best strategy. But sometimes, that's how we approach the Bible, especially Bible study. And we're like analyzing it, we're flipping through all these papers, we're doing word studies, trying to connect to God. So Lectio Divina is more of a balance to our overly Western, cognitive, intellectual approach to the Bible. Not that those things aren't useful, they totally are. Lectio Divina is just a practice that engages more of our emotion. It lets us sit, it lets us slow down. We're not analyzing it as much as just sitting with it and savoring the text. So Lectio Divina means divine or sacred reading. It's not a focus on information, but the formation of our hearts. The goal isn't to acquire knowledge or to think correctly, though that is a good use of our brains, in conjunction with the other aspects of our souls, our will, our memory, our imagination, our sensing, feeling, thinking, curious, intuitive, whole selves. So Lectio Divina sees the Bible as a pathway to connect with the one behind the text, to listen to the gentle whispers of the Spirit by slowing down. The basic structure is to read a passage. Typically, you want to stay 10 verses or less, because I'm doing a narrative passage. It's 12 verses today. So I'll read that to you. If you really want to turn to it in the Bible, you can if you're a visual processor. But I'm going to read from a different translation than the NIV. And so we'll do this a few times. I'll read it slowly. We'll have some time for silence. And the screens and myself will guide us through. We'll do different prompts. Now, for some of you who have not done this before, it will feel awkward. It will feel uncomfortable. And that's okay. If you give it a shot, it's impossible to fail. How do you like that? That's pretty nice. Because the point isn't to get something out of it. The point is to put ourselves in a posture of openness and listening, of cherishing the text, and hoping that God will meet us here. So even if you get nothing out of it, you're still practicing that posture. We're still slowing down, which definitely in this season, we need some chances to slow down. I think that goes for most of life. A few of you might fall asleep during the silent times, and that's okay if your body really needs that. I won't be offended. Sleep is actually a useful metaphor for this practice because you can't really force sleep, right? You can't make yourself sleep. Sometimes I've done that. I'm actually a pretty good sleeper. It happens naturally. So you can't really manipulate yourself to just like, boom, I'm sleeping now. But you can create the conditions where sleep is encouraged and can occur. So in the same way, Lectio Divina creates the conditions of our heart where we are put in a posture to receive and meet with God. We're not trying to manipulate the scripture. We're not trying to manipulate or control God or have a certain agenda or outcome in mind. We're just simply sitting with the scripture. And that's one of the things I love about it. So I'll read us through this. The first step is reading. There'll be four movements. I don't want to go through them ahead of time. We'll just do it. It'll be pretty obvious and straightforward. But this first time when I'm reading, simply just notice what word or phrase sticks out to you. Just kind of gently, open-handedly listen and just see if there's a word or a phrase that you feel drawn to. And I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it three times total. So don't feel bad if there isn't a word the first time. You know, just kind of receive it. So why don't we... I was going to pass around this. So for the kids, there is a little coloring sheet. Would you raise your hand if you think your kid might like a coloring sheet, or if you yourself would want one? Christina, would you pass these around? Keep your hand up, and she'll pass around this, and then some pencils. Cool. So while she's doing that, why don't we just have a little time of quiet? Just get yourself comfortable. If you need to leave during the come and go, that's fine too. We'll have lots of space just to be and to sit with this passage. It is the passage where Gabriel speaks to Mary, announces that she will be with child. So I'm going to start with a prayer, and then I will begin the reading. And then when silence is about to wrap up, I'm going to play this little chime, which might sound awkward, but it's maybe a smoother transition than me just verbally giving the cues every time. So it'll sound like this. Can you hear it? Nice. We pretend like we know how to do this smoothly, but we're just making it up as we go, right? Take some deep breaths and take a minute just to quiet your body and your mind. O Holy One, we hear and say so many words, yet yours is the word we need. Speak now and help us listen. And if what we hear is silence, let it quiet us. Let it disturb us. Let it touch our needs. Let it break our pride. Let it shrink our certainties and enlarge our sense of wonder. After you feel drawn to a word or phrase, just sit with it for a moment in the silence that follows. Savor it, repeat it to yourself, letting it resonate within you. During the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favor." Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel reassured her, saying, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit." Mary said, "But how could this happen? I am still a virgin." Gabriel answered, "The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The, quote, barren one is now in her sixth month. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary responded, saying, "This is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass." And the angel left her. So move on to the next movement called meditation. We'll listen to the passage again. And if it hasn't already, listen for a word or phrase that seems to stick out. If you have a word or phrase in mind, listen for the ways that it seems to intersect with your life right now. Ask God, what does this mean for me? During the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Grace to you, young woman, for the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favor." Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel reassured her, saying, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit." Mary said, "But how could this happen? I am still a virgin." Gabriel answered, "The Spirit of Holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her sixth month. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary responded, saying, "This is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass." And the angel left her. If you're doing Lectio by yourself, you could actually do these two steps over and over again as many times as you'd like. But for this point in the morning, we are halfway through. And in a group context, a lot of people find it useful to actually speak the word or phrase out loud to someone, because it kind of makes you clarify or kind of bring voice to what you're resonating with. So let's just take 1 minute. You could just turn to one or two people and say a single word if you want. Please don't go on and on about what that means to you right now. We'll have some time for broader sharing at the end. But please take a minute and feel free to chat and share a phrase or just a word with someone near you. Little chime comes in handy. So it's kind of fun to see that just by a show of hands, did anyone have a word or phrase that was similar or the same as someone next to you? Interesting. Yeah, it's kind of fun to see this, how the passage hits people sometimes differently, sometimes the same. So the next movement, we won't do a reading, but I just wanted to give some extra space for prayer. So now that you have hopefully landed on a word or phrase, and if not, that's okay too. Again, I said this, it's impossible to fail. Whatever is moving in you, whatever is top of mind or stirring in your hearts, take a minute just to talk about that with God. Just to respond in some way. To yourself, quietly to yourself. I'm not asking for anyone to pray out loud. Just quietly have this moment to be prayerful, and just reflect on this passage in God's loving presence. For this last reading, we'll continue just to contemplate on the passage and cherish any gifts or insights that this practice has brought you. And so really this movement is to kind of conclude the time. And again, like I said, any of these could be expanded or shortened if desired. And so we'll just leave a time of silence just to cherish the passage and continue to reflect upon anything that the Spirit may be stirring in you. During the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary, living in Nazareth, a village in Galilee. She was engaged to a man named Joseph, a true descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Grace to you, young woman. For the Lord is with you, and so you are anointed with great favor." Mary was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel reassured her, saying, "Do not yield to your fear, Mary, for the Lord has found delight in you and has chosen to surprise you with a wonderful gift. You will become pregnant with a baby boy, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be supreme and will be known as the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will enthrone him as king on his ancestor David's throne. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit." Mary said, "But how could this happen? I am still a virgin." Gabriel answered, "The Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your aged aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her sixth month. Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary responded, saying, "This is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass." And the angel left her. So when the formation team was picturing Advent, they wanted us to experience a practice together, to actually do it and experience God with us in various ways, which is the Emmanuel means God with us. But we also wanted to give some time for group reflection, like we typically do with the scripture. We can do that and kind of reflect on how this experience was for you. So I put a couple prompts up here for some open sharing. How did you connect to God in this passage? Did you feel some nudging or sense of clarity? What do you desire to keep holding or to continue reflecting upon? Maybe that last one is one to kind of take forward with you. That might be a little bit harder to answer in this group time, but it's kind of a free-for-all. So who would like to share about this experience for them? Some of you, this might be your first time. Some have done it before. So either one is free game. I like that. Yeah. It's just accepting his will or his word and not always being excited about it. Yeah. But just humbly accepting that. I like that. Thank you, Jamie, for sharing that. Yeah. I love that. And I think that's part of the beauty of Lectio, is it does hit us exactly where we're at, coming from. I mean, that's part of the beauty, is that God uses the scriptures as a launching pad to speak with us. And I think often Christina and I are coming from completely different perspectives as well. So that's great. Thank you for sharing that. Nope. I'm still going to stick with it because your gift is that you revealed all those things were just hidden underneath the surface. So those still came to the surface. I think that's a win. Well, thank you guys for giving it a shot and for trying that out. We'll do a different practice next week. I'll turn it over to the Holmeses. Or just Brian. Just Brian.
Half of the Holmeses. Okay, so we want to give you an update. And so what we'll let you know is that we concluded our vote on Friday, and we have voted to approve Josh Lee as our co-pastor with Dustin and Christina. So he will be moving down in the middle of December, and his first day will be January 2nd, and his first Sunday with us will be January 6th. So as we've been working through that process, we've been going through the feedback that you gave us and just kind of going through all those things. And one of the things that I noticed from that feedback was so many of the things that that you shared. The vote was about was over 80% from the people who voted. The comments from all of you were even higher than that, so in the positive realm. So there was a lot of support and encouragement for that, which we really were excited to see. There were also concerns, and we appreciated all the honesty and the heart that went into those concerns as well. One of the things that search committee really had to do for all the candidates we looked at is we would look at all their good qualities, and we also had to talk about what could be problems with this candidate. What will be some things that we really need to do as a church to make this person successful or to make that person successful? We had a lot of those conversations all the way through. And that included Josh with those other candidates. And the things that you shared were a lot of things that we had been also talking about. So just know that we hear those concerns. We value your voice. We appreciate that you are speaking up, and we want you to keep doing that with us. We also want to celebrate the fact that so many people have come together and are excited about this next stage. One of the other things that I personally really treasured going through all that feedback, and again, it was like 40 pages of things that you said to us. So again, thank you for doing that. I was amazed at how much love you showed for each other in this church family. There are so many of you who said, I'm excited about this, but I am really worried about my friends. Or I don't want this person to leave. I don't want this voice to be gone from our church family. And that came up again and again and again. So that just says a lot about you and who you are. There was, again, a wide range of views. There's anxiety, because with any new person that comes and any big change like this, anxiety is a part of that. Just the things that you don't know. How will this actually work? What will that look like? And so we're with you in that, but we're also doing this together in that. So as we're looking to this time that's coming up, there are a few things that we can say. One is that we are moving to a co-pastor model, which means that we will have Dustin and Christina and Josh will all be pastors together. So, and Christina will be pastor of outreach, and we're not even sure what titles we're going to use for everybody else. Maybe we'll just do something stupid and say it in Latin or something. I don't know. But then it's pastor in Latin, so that doesn't even work. So, yeah. So, but again, that is the model we're moving towards. And again, that's a reflection in a lot of ways of the feedback you gave us last spring, and also the things that you said in the most recent feedback about Josh. We feel like a team approach is a great strength of Imago. And honestly, the thing that came up again and again is that it's the most Imago way to do things, and to do this together, to be talking about this together, to set vision for our church together. So they will be working as a team with the leadership team, with all the support teams to do that. So one of their biggest jobs starting in January will be sitting down together and saying, okay, here's the work that we do as Imago. Here are the strengths that we have. Here are the gifts that we have. Where can we best apply those? Where can we plug those in? So Josh, of course, teaching will be one of his big areas. Everything else is kind of up for grabs. And we are so fortunate to be in a position where we have three really talented staff with all those gifts who could plug themselves into lots of places. It's kind of a unique thing in a lot of ways to do that. So we're going to be having that conversation. And then as we get things figured out, you will know, okay, so Dustin's primarily doing this, and Christina's kind of focused on this, and Josh is working on this. But just know that they will be communicating back and forth all the time. So you can go to any of them and talk to them about things, and they will be working on that. So again, communication will be really important, not just among the staff, but also between us and the staff as well. So thank you for that. And again, just during this next time, what we just ask is, we know there's anxiety. We know that there's diversity of opinion. We just ask that you give us some time to work this out, that you give us some space to see what God's going to do in this next stage in Imago. We as leadership are anxious and also really excited about the potential that we see just for our church family, but also for the way that we reach out in the community, the way that we can impact the world around us, just being able to continue that work and to move out beyond these walls as we have been and keep reaching God's love out to all corners of Peoria and the communities beyond. So we're excited about that. But again, just give us some space. And that honestly was the other comment that came up a lot that just made me so proud of you guys. So many people that had concerns said, I'm worried about this. I'm nervous about this, but I'm not going anywhere. I want to see what God does. I want to see what he works through this church. And so thank you for that gift. It is a gift. I know we're asking a lot from you. We're asking a lot from everybody in this church to move in this new phase. And that sacrifice does not go unnoticed. And we just very much appreciate that you are doing that with us. So as we go, you have a question? Yeah. Yeah, you can.
I promise I won't do anything crazy. I'm just a member of the church. I'm not in the back end runnings of what's going on with the search or keeping the church running in the last several months. So I just wanted to take a moment to say, I think on behalf of at least the majority here, thank you to those who have been involved in the search and also to those who have been keeping things running. From my perspective, being a complete outsider to all of that, I know that you guys are making it a lot easier than it has actually been. And I know that there have been hundreds of hours going into all that. So I just wanted to take a moment to tell you thank you. It's been way smoother than I could have imagined it being. And we know that that's been a lot of hard work. So thank you.
So one other adjustment we want to let you know about is that Christina has been a full-time administrative pastor during this interim stage. And honestly, the work that Christina and Dustin and Ashby have done during this time is one of the main reasons that things have run so smoothly. We've been very, very blessed to have them doing that. So she is going to be transitioning back to really focusing on the outreach aspect and being a pastor of outreach. So adjusting hours and things like that, because life is crazy at her house too, like it is at all of our houses. And so they're making good choices for their family. So that'll be an adjustment too. But again, there'll be a lot of things that'll be kind of shifting around, and responsibilities will be adjusting as we figure out how to best do this. So I too want to just take a moment and thank the search committee for their work on this. They just have done an amazing job of just thinking through things very, very carefully. And again, thinking not just about themselves, like thinking about what do people around them want. And that is a tough thing to do. So I really appreciate all their work. And I hope that you'll have a chance to just tell them individually how much you appreciate that. They just, again, spoke for everyone. And that was the last thing I really noticed in the comments that you said. I've been in churches before. I've never been part of the search process, but I've been in churches that were going through that search. And so often you hear, well, I want a pastor who does this, or I need a pastor who looks like this, or I need this. In your comments, there was not a single person that said, I need this. There was a lot of talk of our church needs this, or I want to make sure everyone has this, or I want our community to have this. That was just something that came out of who you are. That was the vocabulary that you used. So again, thank you for that. Again, 40 pages of that tone and spirit. So that's an amazing thing too. So thank you for that. So I do want to, again, if you would just give Dustin and Ashby and Christina another thank you for their hard work. We absolutely could not have made it through the season without their support. So that was a wonderful thing. So again, we'll have more details to come as we get things worked out. But that's kind of where we stand right now.